Have you ever had a moment where you reach a crossroads and you're not sure which way to turn? Or when the sat-nav says that you have to go left and you just have a strange feeling it's not the right direction? The choices we make matter, and not only to us. Hi, I'm Stuart and I get to be the minister here at St Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. You can find out all about who we are and how you can join in on our website at st-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. Today, I'm joined in leading worship by John. He'll lead our prayers later, but first, let's listen as he reads our scripture for today.
Our Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain and dies. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It's for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it, and said it was thunder. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
Spring is finally in the air. The days are getting longer. The world is waking up from its winter sleep and the sun has even come out. One of the paradoxes of Lent is that it seems to be opposite to what we experience each day as our journey towards the cross seems to become darker and darker each week. You can almost feel all the light and the colour being sucked out of the story. This is the moment in John's Gospel when the darkness really starts to gather. John's story of Jesus is a book of two halves. We find ourselves at a crucial moment today, the hinge that holds together Jesus' ministry in what we call the Book of Signs, and the long section of teaching that's known as the Farewell Discourse. It's just after Palm Sunday in the story. Jerusalem is mobbed. People are there from all over for the Passover. We read that some Greeks have come to see Jesus. The assumption is that these are not Jews, and that's important in the story, but we'll get to that in a minute. The Greeks find Philip because he has a Greek name. That bit always makes me smile. It's what we do when we find ourselves somewhere strange, isn't it? We look for something familiar. A I still remember the first time we went abroad. We took our caravan to France with our friends. The caravans were packed with food because, well, who knew if you'd be able to buy exotic things like mints and tea bags when we got there. The first shop we went into in France had Tetley tea bags and even Iron Brew. On that same holiday, we laughed as my mum tried to order four candy flosses from a stall on the beach in her very, very limited French. When she'd paid, she said, "Thank you," in English, and the stall holder said, "You're welcome." It turned out he was from Manchester. The Greeks do what we all do. They look for something familiar, a way in, a point of shared understanding. Philip's a name that they know, and so he's the one they speak to. And Philip goes to Andrew, and the pair of them go to Jesus. Jesus, there's some Greek people who would like to meet you. Would that be okay? They're just over there. It'll only take a minute. It's a pretty straightforward request, isn't it? It must have been the kind of thing that the disciples would be really familiar with by now. People would want to see Jesus, want to speak to him, to ask for healing or blessing or just out of curiosity. I'm not sure what the disciples thought Jesus would say. Maybe, "Sure, send them over." Or perhaps, "Not now, I'm busy with some other stuff." But I'm pretty sure it wasn't, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Sorry, what? Where did that come from? And what on earth is Jesus talking about? What's changed? How does he know that it's time? It's the Greeks. I told you they were important. Jesus' mission is to the whole of the world. John told us that last week in chapter 3, that most famous of verse, John 3:16, "For God loved the world so much." Not some of the world, not just a few people in a particular place, not just people who are a particular colour or speak a particular language or whatever other limits we might want to put on that love. With the arrival of the Greeks, the world is here. The news about Jesus has spread beyond local gossip and made it to the world at large. And the world has come to see him. And that means it's time. But time for what? Time for the Son of Man to be glorified. That's an idea we have come across before. There's a story where Jesus takes Peter and James and John up a mountain and is transfigured, shining, revealed in all his glory. Glory means true nature. It's time for the people to see who Jesus really is and to understand what all of this is about. I said earlier, this is a hinge moment. A hinge moment where we move beyond one part of the story into another. This might be called a crucial moment. A moment where the plot turns, where a decision is made that takes things down a particular path. Did you know that crucial comes from the Latin word crux, which means cross? The literal meaning of crucial is cross-shaped, and this is most certainly a cross-shaped moment. Jesus is tying it all up, summarising his teaching. "You lot, it's decision time again. Will you follow me? Will you risk it all? Are you willing to put down this life and lead a different one? And in laying down my life, like a seed falling to the ground, more will grow." Jesus had only just entered Jerusalem in a bizarre technicolour palm parade of hosannas. And with just a few words, we've turned to something else completely. Jesus knows there is a choice to be made. He knows he could turn away, but the route to the cross is his choice, one final act of service. And here at the crucial moment, the point which Jesus could call the whole thing off, a voice speaks from heaven. Confirmation. God says, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now is the time for the judgment of this world." Things are going to be different. Remember a while ago we spoke about some of the language in this, a trial, a confession, the telling of the truth, repentance, the change of way that you're thinking. Judgment's about separating into categories, right from wrong, truth from lies, light from darkness. That happens so that the things we don't need, the things that cause us problems, the things that get in the way, things that separate us from God, those things, the darkness, as John calls it, they can be taken away so that we're left only with the good, the true, the right, so that we can live in the light. The powers of darkness will be driven out. The world will be transformed. And the world was transformed. And it still is being transformed. All of it, every day. Here's the thing we often miss about ideas like judgment. We think a judgment happens once, like in a trial. The judge and the jury hear evidence and make a decision, guilty or not guilty, or here in Scotland, the often controversial option of not proven, which just means we think you did it, probably, but there isn't quite enough evidence to meet the burden of proof. And that's it. Judgment is made. Or we make a judgment, this or that, left or right, we choose, and that's it, judgment made. But ask anyone who has been judged or who has judged, and that's all of us in some way or another, not one person will tell you that judgment is a one-time thing. The judgment lives with you forever. Both good decisions and the bad, a reminder, a challenge, a warning. But all of them are an ongoing opportunity to keep changing every day, to be better, to strive to be more like Jesus. Church is supposed to transform us by reminding us of that challenge and that opportunity. Preaching this bit, the sermon, it's supposed to be a transformative event. You and I are supposed to be changed by this. I'm supposed to say something that makes you stop in your tracks, that makes you rethink something, that makes your heart burn and your mind explode with possibilities. That's a lot of pressure. And there are some weeks where I know that I haven't nearly lived up to that task. So I'm glad that I'm just a small part of that process. I'm glad that there's something else, something much bigger than me at work. My job is to introduce you to God and then get out of the way, to plant a seed. But that's your job too. The challenge of this story is that transformation happens when people, the Greeks in this story, see Jesus for who he really is in all his glory. How will that happen if people like Philip and Andrew and you and me don't bring them to meet him? How will they see? How will they realise? I wonder what it is that holds us back from that. What is it that we are afraid of? What permission needs to be granted? What confirmation do you need? The voice from heaven was for our benefit. He is the one. The time has come for things to change. So what are you waiting for?
Thank you.
Prayers for others and ourselves. Loving God, we come before you today with thanksgiving. We are glad to know you through your Son, Jesus. We come to offer our prayers for the world and for all those who are suffering just now. Lord, we are grateful for the relationship we have with you and all it brings us. We pray for anyone who has yet to discover your invitation, or for anyone who has previously turned it down. Lord, may they come to know you and love you. Lord, we are grateful for all the people you have blessed us to know, and for all that those relationships mean to us. We pray for anyone who has lost touch or fallen out with a friend, and who desires to reconnect and reconcile their relationship. Lord, we are grateful for all who give of their time and talents to further your kingdom, especially elders, readers, ordained local ministers, deacons, parish ministers, regional and national staff, and those working locally. We pray for all who are discerning a call to serve your church in a new way. May they choose to serve and follow you where you lead. Lord, we are grateful for all who serve others in the armed forces, in the medical services, in the police service, in the fire service, and in a voluntary way through the many charities that help other people. We pray for all who are considering joining a service and for those who use these services and benefit from them. In a moment's silence, we offer the people and places we know of where your presence and healing touch are needed today. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers and for promising to always answer them. Give us patience and courage to serve. Lord, hear us as we pray the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So with that confidence, and in that hope, let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord all the days of our lives. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit go with us all this day and forever.